You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I got a speeding ticket in the mail yesterday.
In the mail?
Yeah. I think I'm going to just ignore it.
It's Mike Shope.
Where was this?
Spain.
And the Bulldog.
I think if I just lay low, I think I'll get away with it.
Not mention it on the air?
Definitely don't want to talk about it on the air.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I like the sound of this more and more as we go. I'm an outlaw.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
I'm just saying the authorities have still not shown up at my door. It's been more than a year. I think I'm skating. Glad to have you with us here on WGR this afternoon. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope is away today and will be off next week as well. I'll be here with, just myself on Monday, then Nate Geary for a few days, and then Sal next Friday. Sal was with me for the front end of this show, but he is now taking part in a sort of practice broadcast while the Bills are enjoying the return of the blue and red practice on the West Hurrah Hotline now, though, to talk all things Bills and maybe who knows what else, maybe even some golf, is our buddy Aaron Quinn from Cover One. Aaron, it's been probably a year or more, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been a while since we chatted. I'm busy with the kids often when you're asking me to come on this hour, but I'm free tonight, and so I was excited when I got the invite. So I appreciate you guys having me on, man.
Good deal, man. How are things? How's the golf game?
It's okay. I have not, again, gone out as much with the kids on school break as I would like to. And so when I get back out, it's a little wonky and rusty. But I'm hoping with Nate Geary filling in this week that you guys will get to go out before the show that afternoon. Maybe get a little powwow pre-production.
You know, Nate, he's so busy with his real job and playing Pinehurst. Like, he doesn't have time to go play at Delaware Park with little old me.
I see him on Instagram all the time.
Right. So, where do we start here? I think the stadium, because it'll get away from us if we start talking about everything else. And, you know, it struck me this morning, you know, say what you will, it's just an open practice, but it is like it's the first event that fans can go to in the final season of the stadium. So stadium memories are sort of, you know, spilling over here. I really enjoyed Sal last about a half an hour ago talking about all the different things he's been a part of from his perspective on the sidelines. The last 11 seasons. How about you? Like, what things stand out, whether you were in the stadium for them or just watching on TV like, you know, many people?
Yeah, well, like many people that listen to our podcast now, I'm not from the Western New York area originally, became a Bills fan from out of state. And so, like, my real first exposure to Buffalo was driving 10, 11 hours from Maine to come catch Bills Patriots games and bringing my friends along with me who were Patriots fans and terrible, terrible friends along with me for some of those rides. And just that experience of being, you know, the Bills fan in my group and bringing friends, that will always stick with me. And then now I am in the region and my family's from here and we had season tickets for years. So there's, you know, my heartstrings pull at that stadium. And I'll tell you, without like the analyst perspective, just as a parent, all the parents that I talked to and all the play dates that have been on all summer everyone's wanting to get their kids, even if it's to the kids game or to this blue and red scrimmage, just that one last time, make sure you bring the family. So it's a rite of passage in Western New York, and you can't, I don't know. Everyone can be excited for the new stadium, but you got to have, this one pulls at your heartstrings knowing it's the last one in this stadium.
Yeah, I hear you, man. You know, we haven't been out there with our show on game days since COVID.
Right.
The opportunity to do it has been there. We just haven't taken it. So it's not like they're keeping us from doing it. I think, you know, but nonetheless, I found out we're going to be doing, I don't know that this is all set up yet, so I don't want to let any cats out of bags, but there's a chance we're doing some shows for like the weekday, like the Thursday Dolphins game, say. Our show will be the pregame show, and there's a chance that we're going to be there, and I already am making sure I find my way to tickets, because when I started thinking about it, my oldest son, Owen, now works here. He's a sports fanatic. Leo couldn't care less, but... Yeah. The two of them and my wife and a friend of ours went to like the Jets finale. I don't know. CJ Spiller might have had a big play in the game. Yeah. Like it's that long ago. They're really little kids. And Owen has been to games as an adult now, with friends and stuff. But the two of us, we saw EJ Manuel's preseason debut against Pittsburgh in 2013 together. But we have never been to a game. And furthermore, I haven't been to a game as a fan. I don't think I'm forgetting anything since the 2000 opener against Tennessee. Yeah. So I got to go to that Miami game, right?
Like
with Owen. I mean, we got to make this happen. I think so.
And it sounds like the conversation, like I said, I've had with every parent, whether they've been to a ton of games or in your case too, like where like, hey, we haven't had an opportunity to. That's it now. The clock is running out. And it's really cool that it's paired with the excitement of what this team could be. Like, what better way to go out with a really fun winning season with some home playoff games at the Ralph to send it out?
Yeah, no question about that at all. Okay, so the team right now. How badly would you like to see a Terry McLaurin or Micah Parsons trade, Aaron?
Oh, man, I try not to be this guy, right? Every time you hear the big name and it's like, oh, let's go get him. But from this perspective, I will say Terry McLaurin has been one of my favorite players since I saw his Senior Bowl stuff. I've just loved him and loved everything he brings and think he fits exactly what the Bills want, guys. That one's a little frivolous, I will say, but the heart wants what the heart wants. But when you see Micah Parsons, that rings a little different because you're dealing with like a 26-year-old who's underpaid under his current contract. I don't know how the Cowboys let this get as bad as it is, where he's, you know, releasing public statements that his agent isn't involved. So this seems like bad, where there might be some bad blood, where at least in Terry McLaurin's case, he's gotten back. He has requested a trade, but he came back. It doesn't seem to be as... you know, ill intent on one
Not.
But the Parsons one seems really interesting, man. You're looking at edge rusher, which is a premium position. That's where the Bills really tried to address this offseason. Knowing what I know about Brandon Bean, he's at least had to send a low ball offer. Like, he's that kind of guy where he's going to try to get a, you know, he's not going to not get involved in something like this. So that's the one that intrigues me the most, is the Bills need to get pressure on the quarterback. He can do that now.
I think you have to, if it's the Dallas Cowboys, I think you always have to make a call. Because you just never know. When we were in a phase of real uncertainty about how the James Cook thing was going to go, we would often say in here, like, well, if you're going to if you're going to find out what the trade market is, call Dallas. Just got to call Dallas. You never know. They might give you a first-round pick for a running back who had 16 touchdowns last year. Who knows? So
And from that perspective, like, again, I'm not the guy that likes to get all frivolous on these kinds of deals, but it's kind of embarrassed to probably say what I'd be willing to give up for a guy like Micah Parsons to just put him on your team this year for what I think is a Super Bowl caliber team. Kind of, I don't know. I feel like Brandon Bean's got to be intrigued. If he's not, I'd be disappointed.
Right. Aaron Quinn from Cover One on the Western Hotline with me here on WGR. So, well, since we started on this, let's stay on pass rush here. And, you know, Bosa comes in. They keep Rousseau. I see from, you know, following your stuff, the Cover One accounts and your own account, you're quite bullish on Rousseau, maybe being capable of taking another step. But Bosa's really the big, that's the big piece. And I did a FanDuel show this afternoon before my show, and was asked about him as a Von Miller, you know, replacement. And I guess, I mean, that's really what he is. And I just sure hope it works. It's only 1 year, so it's not the big financial commitment Miller was, of course. But boy, there's a lot, I think, riding on him staying healthy, because if he doesn't produce, their pass rush, I guess Hoyt is here too. And we'll see about Javon Solomon, but I don't know. I think it gets pretty thin pretty quick if Bosa isn't healthy.
It gets thin quick, and some of that's due to the suspension for 6 weeks with Michael Hoyt being in there. He would also kind of offset some of those snaps if he was there for the first 6 weeks. Greg Thompson, my co-host, always jokes around how he kind of wished maybe Bosa was the one suspended, where you could just like ice him for 6 weeks. Just from that, everyone has this kind of overlying anxiety when it comes to Bosa of the potential of the injury, right? Whether you believe in injury prone or not, I'm still not sold that it's a thing, but it does happen where guys just kind of linger with 3-4 injuries that hold them out for years. So I think that's the concern, is Hoyt being out, him maybe having to take a higher snap count than the Bills initially wanted. So I am keeping an eye on guys like tonight's practice. I want to hear about Javon Solomon. I want to hear about some of that rotation, especially early in the season. Not to say that Bills are always playing for January or whatever, but kind of, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to sound cocky like Patriots fans used to be, but you are kind of playing for later in the season. So we heard Sean McDermott say they have a plan for Bosa and a rep count. We saw that with Vaughn yet last year, but I don't think he can play the limited snaps Vaughn did with how tight that depth chart gets with Hoyt being out.
Yeah. One player who I've been intrigued about all spring was the third round pick out of Arkansas, Landon Jackson. I like his athletic profile a lot. But it seems to me, I don't know, you can tell me if you've seen different yourself, and I know you've been out to practice with the kids, most of what I'm gleaning is, like, he's down the depth chart, and I guess I'm rooting for that to change maybe once the preseason games even begin. I was talking with Sal yesterday on the show that right now I might guess that he's a guy that on game day doesn't get a uniform.
Right now probably would be tough, but I think one thing that I'm trying to kind of watch myself is with some of these camp battles and positioning, it's still kind of early, even though it feels like the season's right around the corner in terms of like the roster and being able to shift and move, especially at some of these lower end of the depth chart spots. Can really shake out. And we've seen, like, in the cornerback room how one injury over the next week, you know, knock on wood, and we hope it doesn't, thrusts a younger guy into a position where they are getting more snaps and more looks. And so they'll end at St. John Fisher here soon and be back home from training camps. But then there's still weeks where they're still practicing before a game. We still have about a month before football. So a lot of these spots, guys are still going to have opportunities to move up. And I feel like Jackson's the kind of player that is going to move his way up and get himself into that rotation here before home opener is what I'm hoping, but at least early in the season.
Yeah. How about on the back end? I know, again, following you through the season, I don't want to overdo this, that you're like a DeMar Hamlin defender or anything, but I feel like you stick up for him amongst the fan base. Cole Bishop had a quad injury that caused him to miss practice yesterday, missed a lot of last summer with injury. I feel like a lot is riding on Bishop, because, like, I hear you on Hamlin. Like, he did a credible job, but I think, you know, you want to get back to more than just getting by at that position, right? We were used to the luxury of Hyde and Poyer. I mean, holy cow, that's a high bar to clear, I recognize, but I think I want some plays from back there, and I feel like Bishop might be a package that can offer me that. And I feel like a lot, I don't want to say a lot, no, I do. I think a lot rides on his being healthy and being impactful back there.
Yeah, really. He and Rapp. Rapp has also found his way to put himself off the field at times. And so you do need help out of that. So my defense of DeMar Hamlin has been adequate. I think it's been adequate safety play for this scheme. I think he's a good fit. It's a nice floor. And that's an important part of an NFL roster. And we talked about it on our show this weekend. It's a pretty rare state of occurrence where a pretty young defensive back makes his way back to your team in free agency. He didn't get big starting money. So you get him back, and it's a good floor. I think everybody in the organization sees Cole Bishop as a starting caliber player. That's why they drafted him. They're giving him every chance to hold on to that job. It's going to be availability. Can he stay available to keep that job and take it? Because DeMar Hamlin's a frustrating enough player that you have a good floor, but he also is a guy that coaches trust. Like, he is going to be where he's supposed to be, and maybe he doesn't make the splash plays we all want to see. But that coach trust matters, and so Cole's got to get out there here, be healthy, so they can prove to the coaches when bullets fly here through the preseason that he and Rapp are good to go, and they can trust in that. Because I do think your more high-end plays and the higher ceiling comes from a Bishop-Rapp safety duo. I don't think anybody would argue against that, and that's why the Bills picked him.
Has Rapp kind of grown on you? I shouldn't posit it that way. Like, I was, when he first started playing here, I felt like he was a personal foul penalty waiting to happen a lot. Like, he just had this reputation for being that guy, and I think early in his Bills career, there were a couple.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
And I think that has kind of gotten under control. I wonder if that's coaching or he just has learned himself, whatever. But I feel like I want to count on him now.
Yes. I'll frame it in the idea of like video games almost. Like in some of the college football game stuff, you can upgrade your coaches to certain things and your players develop and are better there. The Bills have that with defensive backs, right? So they're going to naturally get a little more out of people than you almost always expect. That's been my experience in covering the Bills and going back to guys like Leonard Johnson in the slot. Like, the Bills got really playable football out of a guy like that late in his career. Sean McDermott just knows what he's doing with defensive backs. And so I think you almost give them all a little bit of a curve. And I was with you on Rapp. I was intrigued. Didn't really know that he was ready to be a starter. I thought he was kind of one of those hybrid players no one knows really what to do with. Mm-hmm. Is he really a full-time starter? I'll tell you, last year when he's healthy, really impressed me. I got really on the Rapp train. He's a smart player. He knows where to be. I don't think he's to the Poyer Hyde level, but he's almost like a poor man's Poyer in the way that he plays. And I think what made Poyer and Hyde great was Poyer and Hyde. Like, right. They were both really good players, but the way they played off each other and just read everything, and it was a one symbiotic unit. Rapp hasn't had that. Like we said, DeMar's fine. He's an adequate mm-hmm. player, but he's not matching the caliber that Rapp had. And I think Bishop gives you that opportunity, and the Bills can get back to doing some of the stuff they'd like to do with that safety position to confuse quarterbacks.
Aaron Quinn from Cover One, our guest here on the Western Hotline for a few more minutes on WGR. So swinging over the other side of the ball, I already referred to the James Cook situation that turned into really very much a nothing burger. He showed up for minicamp. I like my money. We didn't know, okay, some drama, training camp's coming. Will he show up but hold in, not participate, whatever? It seems like it's all just gone away, and I don't know. I'm sort of expecting that to be the case for the whole year. I think he plays out his deal and probably hits free agency next year.
Yeah, I think everybody knows and no one's budging. And honestly, we kind of joked about it on our show. Like, thank God it's being handled like this with Hard Knocks in place. Like, that was the last thing I wanted was for Hard Knocks to come into town and then, like, the first three episodes be like, oh, there's just drama and tension. Everybody's handled it in a way where no one's talking about it anymore. Now you have real drama and tension in other franchises, and you see what it's like. Like, that's not good attention for the Dallas Cowboys. That's not great attention right now for the Commanders, who the fan base should be excited about. The Bills aren't dealing with that. Everyone kind of knows Cook's going to play this out. I think from everything I've seen, an offer was made. I'm sure that offer will sit on the table as long as Cook wants to let it marinate. And Bean's not going any higher than that offer. it's just a matter, I'm sure you guys have talked about it countless times on this show, and the value of running back and where do you get that ROI? And I think they, you know, you see all these also highlights from Ray Davis coming out of camp and the way he's able to run. So I think it makes it hard for the Bills to really want to give up assets there. If you go get a Micah Parsons here in these next 2 weeks, I'll tell you what, you're going to regret paying James Cook any more than you offered him.
Right, no doubt. Yeah, that's where you might pull that offer back. If you were to do that, like, sorry, store's closed. No more.
Yeah, you might have to put him in on the offer, right?
Like, yeah, who knows? Hey, right. Yeah.
We're changing things up.
Yeah, right. I talked yesterday a lot about the pass catchers. I know, go figure, right? WGR talking about receivers. But Shakir, I feel like I'm banking on at least what he did last year. Maybe there's even room for more. Great. Yeah. I love him. I've been bullish on him since he got here, and I feel like I'm getting paid off. So that's good. The rest of the pass catchers, if you had to pick one other pass catcher, all right, let's just put our Everybody Eats hats on the shelf for now. All right. Mm-hmm. Is there another pass catcher here? This, you know, Kincaid and Knox should be included. You could include the running backs, but I can't imagine a running back reaching the threshold I'm about to lay on you here. But, and then the receiving core, is there someone there that you would bet on ascending to, say, 60 receptions and 6 to 10 touchdowns?
Man, I think it's going to be tough just because of the way that room's spread out. And Josh Allen likes to spread the ball around. I think somebody would really have to rise up. He seems to really love throwing the ball to Keon Coleman. And Keon hasn't necessarily made the strides that I want to see from the things I've seen. I think he's fine. But the separation doesn't seem to be that much better. You always hear about he's in defense. He's still making the catches we sort of expect out of him, where it's, you know, he's in tight coverage. There was one that the Bills sent out the other day, beautiful catch in tight coverage. So he has that opportunity. Obviously, he's got to stay healthy. I know people like to bring up his on-pace stats were kind of trending towards some of that type of statistical line last year. So maybe, you know, he stays on that pace. We'll see. I think Josh Palmer is going to eat into a little bit of what the expectation and the bump for Keon Coleman maybe look like. I think they have a big plan for Joshua Palmer in this offense. I think he answers a lot of the type of receiver they didn't have a year ago and wanted. I think they're going to try to add that more as the wrinkle that Brady keeps talking about. So I think that will probably fight against Keon a little bit, but it looks like it's really, he's in that starting three wide receiver group, and nobody's really, we talk a lot about Elijah Moore. Obviously Curtis Samuel still just can't seem to keep himself healthy. So no one's really making a push to get into those reps besides those guys.
Yeah. My bet would be Coleman. I'm a little worried about Kincaid. It was only one day and he was back the next day, but I don't know. I think we could be looking at a situation where he plays through stuff and just is not the guy that we thought we were getting. I don't know. I'm a little nervous.
Knock on wood. I'd love you to knock on some wood right now because they need it. It's either got to be Coleman or Kincaid. At least one of them has to.
Yep.
And I hate say, oh, they got to live up to where they were drafted. But these two do. One of them has to because you did spend an asset. And, you know, I'm on WGR. You guys have been adamant about getting Josh pass catching assets in those early rounds. They did it. Now those guys have to sort of pan out for you, at least one of them.
Right. All right. So what else is to come for Cover One here? You want to promote anything while you've got the airtime here?
Yeah, man. I mean, as always, just wherever you get your podcasts, videos, however you like to follow the Bills, just search Cover One. You'll find us. Really proud of the team that we've assembled, doing great work. Eric and Sal have a new show, Turf to Tape.
Yeah, I saw.
That's been super enjoyable. So we're just kind of busting, getting ready for the season. Greg and I are on every Wednesday night, lining up our guests here for the year. And then after every postgame show, we go live as well. So make sure you're following, subscribed. Everybody knows what to do.
All right, man. Well, you know, I'm a big fan of the work. A lot of the in-depth stuff you do is just not stuff that's practical for us to get into here, but I think it's really helpful to the fan base. So kudos, man. Good work, and keep it up.
Appreciate the kind words, man. Appreciate you guys giving us time.
That is Aaron Quinn from Cover One. Thanks again, Aaron. We'll talk again soon and hopefully do some golfing once the kids get back to school. That's a wrap on that. He already hung up. because I dismissed them already. So, the golf invite ends up sounding hollow. What are you going to do? 803-0550 is the phone number. You want to get in on anything? Aaron and I were kicking around. Sal and I spent a good part of today talking about the stadium. If you got anything on the stadium, memories looking back, your favorite moments, whatever, this is a conversation that I think will, perk up from time to time through certainly the rest of August before the season starts, and then probably, depending on how the season goes, at other times during the season too. I mean, it's a big deal. 1973 to 2025. Here goes the stadium and a new place going up across the street. So we're going to want to spend some time on it, and I'm willing to do that now with you if you are out there and want to get in on it. 803-0550 is the number. Mike is away. I am the Bulldog along with Zach Jones. You are listening to WGR.
So the chains are not going to be there. But if we get a situation where the line of gain is threatened or a team wants to call for a measurement, then what we call it is a virtual measurement. So the ball will be placed. The systems will take a picture of where the ball is in relation to the line of gain, and then it will provide us that information. So there will be no more of us pulling the chains out, holding it down, and showing, I think, from my understanding, it'll show on the big board, and everyone will see it at the same time.
That is NFL official Sean Smith talking about a non-event, is how I'm gonna. It's a non-event. This Hawkeye, I mean, just get out of here. You effectively changed nothing. The worst. What are you doing, NFL? Oh, the Bills might have gotten screwed on a fourth down spot. Like, so let's adjust this. No, that's not what's happening. This is not another rule change because the Bills cried after they lost. No, it's a non-event. Hate it. Something I don't hate. I want to make sure I mention this now. Happy birthday, Marv Levy, turning 100 tomorrow, Marv Levy, and traveling to in Canton. They sent like a special customized van for him and his family to travel. His wife, Fran, there's a daughter and her husband. Anyway, he's in Canton to celebrate his birthday. I saw a picture of him with Polian and Bill Polian and Jim Kelly. Tim Graham, my buddy with The Athletic, wrote a tremendous piece. Howard Simon has something up at WGR550.com too as well. Hat tip to Howard on Marv Levy turning 100 and being, he's a part of Hall of Fame weekend. They invited him to come be a part of it at 100 years old. And you want to hear the best part? Marv Levy had already agreed to be a part of an autograph signing appearance in Chicago, which is where he lives and has lived for a long time, and on Sunday. So they drove to Canton today. They're there. At least I think they drove today. I don't know the timing of everything, okay? But he's there, and he's going to be a part of the enshrinement ceremony tomorrow. And then they are getting in the van and driving back to Chicago so that he can be a part of this event that he had already committed. He didn't want to back out of the signing thing. And a bunch of other, I think, Kelly, Bruce, Thurman, Andre Reed, Tasker. I'm not sure about Tasker, but a bunch of those guys are going to be at the same event on Sunday. What an awesome thing. I adored Marv when he was the Bills coach. And just love to see that is happening and that the Hall of Fame is recognizing him turning 100 and celebrating it, and that he gets to have this time again with all those guys who he means so very much to. It's so great. So check out Howard at WGR550.com and my buddy Tim Graham with The Athletic. Great pieces on Marv and celebrating 100. Just a tremendous deal there. Time for a quickie here. This is, West. West, hi. Thanks for calling. You're on WGR.
Hi, Bulldog. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I've got a friend I've known for over three decades, and he's been a season ticket holder for as long as I've known him. And fortunately, I've been lucky that he's chosen me to go to the home opener with him almost every year.
Awesome.
So, yeah, it is awesome, Bulldog. But my best memory in this stadium was actually the COVID year when they only allowed 6,500 or so people in. I was fortunate enough to be one of those.
The playoff, the Ravens game. Yeah, wow.
Yeah, that was just incredible. And, you know, with only 6,500 people or whatever the number was, it actually sounded like a full stadium that day. And that was just incredible.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that with us. I Wes was talking with Sal about that just about an hour ago. Sal Cabaccio, our sideline reporter. And he described, because, you know, he wasn't on the field. He wasn't allowed on the field because of the restrictions. So he was also in the stands. And I as he was explaining what, you know, he's running, not exactly with Taron Johnson, but like he was down on the goal line where the ball was caught by Johnson in the end zone. And then he tried to get down to the other, you know, get a vantage point as the play was unfolding and running down to the other end zone. And being able to do that, and with so few people, the memory, it stands out because of how odd it was, right? That there were only that many people there sort of makes it even more remarkable. And that you were one of them that was in the stadium that day is really, really cool. I'm so glad you called to share that with us, because I loved Sal reminiscing about that. I don't know that I knew he wasn't on the field for it, but I don't know that I'd ever talked to him about how it felt like everything was in slow motion, because it just what a moment to have been there for. That's a badge. I mean, 6,500 people, and you're one of them, man. Good for you. Good job. I'm glad we got that in. Let's hit a timeout here. More to come here. I am the Bulldog. This is WGR.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.